You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning on this May 22nd. That makes it a Thursday. And a new report is showing that money concerns may have led to bad maintenance decisions for the Minneapolis bridge collapse. And you probably recall that 13 people were wounded in that catastrophic event, and hundreds were wounded. Hundreds were wounded.
Nasty.
Just one among many infrastructure catastrophes. There was New Orleans and the levees there, more than 1,000 people dead. And Boston's Big Dig, there was a falling concrete that killed one woman. And these events have triggered calls for overhauls of the nation's infrastructure. Jerry Balanson, deputy editor for Popular Mechanics, responded and did a little investigating of his own. And Jerry, thanks for being with us. After a long study, you say we need to treat infrastructure as a top-tier issue right up there with homeland security.
Yes, thank you. I do think that is true, and to a large extent, it is an aspect of homeland security. You know, whether the levees in New Orleans were brought down by a storm, they could have been brought down by terrorism, and we pay a lot of attention to looking at scenarios where American lives could be in danger, and a lot of those don't have to do with some kind of a malevolent group of people trying intentionally to do harm. The same effect happens if we just let our infrastructure crumble away. So I think it is equally important.
And you also say that there are many parts of this infrastructure that are at great risk. Can you give us a list?
Sure. You know, it's a bit hard to pinpoint one bridge or one dam because we have so many that are in trouble. But a few places that we looked at were the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta in California. That's a place where very old and in some cases decrepit levees are holding back brackish water that would really contaminate the drinking water supply for most of the population of California. So that is a pretty serious problem that hasn't really been addressed in a meaningful way. The Wolf Creek Dam in Kentucky, the threat is very much weakened by erosion in its foundation. Now, that is being addressed, but the danger persists, and that dam really threatens Nashville and other communities downstream from it.
Jerry, I'm at 1 Center Street here in New York City, and over my shoulder is a bridge you may have heard of, the Brooklyn Bridge. How's that doing?
Well, the Brooklyn Bridge was actually something that we put on our list of bridges in trouble. The span itself is not in any danger of collapse, but the approaches to that bridge are not in very good shape. And one of the things that we really try to point out is that if we can't even keep the Brooklyn Bridge in good repair, what does it say about infrastructure throughout the rest of the country? It's really sort of indicative of just how little attention we pay to these issues.
And Jerry, you make a really good point. It's all about money, because ultimately, if we don't invest, the argument goes, we end up paying on the back end. Because this new bridge in Minneapolis, for example, is costing $400,000 a day, according to some estimates, in extra commuting time and gasoline, not to mention the cost of rebuilding the bridge. And to talk about some of these money issues, we're going to turn to Robert Puentes. He's a fellow at Brookings Institute. And you, very much like Jerry, say this is a dire situation. You describe transportation as among the top of among the most important issues that face American households, at first or second in cost, but that we're not putting the money behind proposals to minister to these infrastructures.
That's exactly right. We've had infrastructure in place that really may have served us well in the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. But the reality is, this is 21st century metropolitan America. We're a global society. Infrastructure has a very profoundly different role today than it does, or than it did just a couple of decades ago. But we really haven't had an intense discussion about what the role of infrastructure is, how it's connected to issues like economic competitiveness, environmental sustainability, social equity. We keep talking about transportation in infrastructure in general in their own kind of boxes, as if it's infrastructure for infrastructure's sake.
Well,
nobody gives a damn about infrastructure. They care about what it delivers. It delivers you to your job, or it delivers goods to home, and all these other things.
So, it also delivers coal to power plants. I read that 1920s-era locks are pretty much responsible for the delivery of coal to most of the power plants in the midsection of the country. What if that went down?
Absolutely. I mean, coal is just one example. The commuting patterns, you know, they used to be kind of the hub and spoke from suburbs down to center cities, you know, and this 9-to-5 kind of 50s-era patterns are no longer the commuting patterns. We know most of them are suburb to suburb. We have 90 million people approximately that don't even have access to quality transit should they need it.
So what's the price tag?
We have systems that are outdated. So the entire system just needs a real wake-up call, and we need the federal government to take the lead and to assess what's broken, what needs to be fixed, and where we're going to prioritize.
In terms of the political will, this is something that you talk about, Robert, because we are talking about hundreds of billions of dollars if you take into account the many places that need some help. In fact, the funding, in fact, is about to run out in October, and we'll get to that in a second. But the political will to do something, even in the wake of the Minneapolis bridge collapse, let's listen to what Congressman Jim Oberstar had to say when he was pleading with fellow members of Congress to invest in bridges.
If you're not prepared to invest an additional 5 cents in road reconstruction, bridge reconstruction, then God help you.
And so, Robert, where are we on the money? Are we indeed about to run out? And you see, it was not terribly successful in getting that 5 cents. I would anticipate getting more would even be more difficult.
Indeed, he certainly was not successful. And that was kind of emergency funding that was going to go to fixing the problem of the day, which was after the bridge fell down. But the Federal Highway Trust Fund, which is where the federal government gets its money to invest in transportation infrastructure, is the money in it is going down. We've been spending it down for a number of years because as the decades went on and people were consuming more gas and driving more, the revenues from the gas tax were going into the trust fund, and we're having more and more money. The fact of the matter is people are actually driving less. They're consuming less gasoline with more fuel-efficient vehicles. There's not a whole lot of appetite for raising the gas tax, as we've seen from calls for the gas tax holiday and other things this summer. So the perfect storm on finance is hitting sometime at the end of this year when there's going to be less money in the Highway Trust Fund to pay for the authorizations that have come out of Congress. So there's a big gap right now, as you mentioned, in the billions of dollars.
And Jerry, last question, and very quickly, because we're running out of time here. So what's the antidote to that? You talk about creating pride.
Well, I do think that is part of the issue. I mean, basically, we do just need to get very serious about the problems for infrastructure, which have to do with transportation, but also other sectors. But one thing that I think is a kind of a hopeful sign is the new Anthony Falls Bridge going up in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Actually has hundreds of people coming out every week to look at it and ask questions. They do tours, and crowd management has become
a natural
issue.
So a bright spot, because we need to leave it there, a bright spot. Jerry Bellinson, Deputy Editor, Popular Mechanics. Thank you. And Robert Puentes, Fellow, Brookings Institution.